Hello again. I'm up here recruiting for the 90-day Bible challenge, as you've heard me say before. But so far, we have 10 people who are ready to start January 1st. This will be something that, as you've heard, can be as independent or as interactive and together as you want. We're hoping for more people to still join us if you're interested. And today, if you've seen me walking around with those orange tote bags, those are the supplies. So we'll be passing them out for the folks who are beginning this week and next Sunday. So make sure you connect with me if you haven't gotten that already. And we still have plenty more of those 90-day Bibles to hand out if you're interested in joining us. We'll kick off together, as we said, January 1st with the first reading. And the whole idea is that by reading 12 pages each day for 90 days. It's amazing, but you get through the whole Bible. So love to have you join us. Make sure you connect with me if you're interested, if God's put that on your heart and you haven't signed up yet. Thanks.
Thank you, Krista. Just to remind everyone, too, that we will be here tonight at 6:30 for our Christmas Eve service, so we invite everyone to come back for that. But again, the Christmas Eve service will begin at 6:30 this evening. So please plan to be with us as we light the Christ candle and celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ being born into our world. Of course, there are other things going on at Olney Presbyterian Church. It will be going on through the course of the incoming year. So please make sure that you all read your Bible. Also go to our webpage to stay abreast of Olney, what is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
Our gospel reading this morning is from the book of Luke, Chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. Listen for God's word to us. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud with the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his posterity forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the word of God for you and for me, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I feel a little bit cheated this year that the fourth Sunday in Advent actually is also the same day as Christmas Eve. Seems like we were cheated of a little bit of Advent time, a little bit of time of preparation and and getting ready. I'm always a little bit jealous of Advent time, but I guess that's the way it goes. Sometimes you get cheated out of things. One of the things I felt cheated of a few years back during the pandemic was the fact that we didn't get to sing. Y'all remember that? We weren't able to sing. When we were able to come back for a while, it was kind of dangerous to even be close together and also to sing. And we always felt a little bit cheated about that, because singing is terribly important. It's always been important for God's people. Singing has always been important for human beings. We human beings are wired to sing. And that's true too when it comes to God's people, when it comes to the Bible. Singing has always been important in the life of God's people, especially in those times when God has shown mercy to his people. I've noticed it in the Bible that it is usually the women who lead God's people in song. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's women who usually lead people in song. And again, usually after God has shown some act of mercy, after God has liberated the people in some way, the women lead the praising and the singing to God. That was certainly true in the book of Exodus, when God delivers the Israelites from the approaching Egyptian army at the Red Sea. And it's Miriam, the sister of Moses and the sister of Aaron, who leads the women in song. "The Lord is my strength and my song," she says, "and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him." That's the song that Miriam and the women sing as they watch the destruction of the Egyptian army. And in 1 Samuel, it is Hannah who was barren, Hannah who wanted to have a child, Hannah who felt humiliated and was made fun of by her husband's other wives. Hannah begins to pray to the Lord, and one day she receives mercy from the Lord. She becomes pregnant with her son Samuel, and Hannah begins to sing, "My heart exults in the Lord, my strength is exalted in my God." She sings. And the same is true, of course, of Elizabeth in the New Testament, the cousin of Mary. Elizabeth, too, is up in age. She, too, is barren, unable to have children, and God grants her mercy, and she becomes pregnant, and she too begins to sing. But now in our text this morning that Ken read, it's Mary's turn. It's Mary's turn to sing, and she has already heard the stunning good news from the angel Gabriel that she is favored and blessed among all women because she is going to be the mother of the Lord. She is going to bear the Christ child into the world, and he is going to be the Savior of his people, the Savior of the whole world. And Mary has that confirmed by her cousin Elizabeth. And then Mary begins to sing this powerful, powerful song that we heard and read about this morning. You know, years ago, they had this show, American Idol. Maybe it's still a show that's still ongoing. It's a show where, you know, people come out on stage and they begin to sing. They begin to display their talent. Usually it's about singing. And one episode, they had a lady on the show, Susan Boyle, I believe was her name. But when she walked out on the stage, people began to kind of laugh and snicker about her because she didn't look much like a singer. She didn't look like a popular conception of a singer. She was sort of frumpy, a plain-looking middle-aged woman with wild eyebrows, and she walked out on the stage, and then she started to sing. And when she started to sing, it just blew everyone away with the power of her voice. And the same is true with Mary. When Mary walks out on stage, we don't really expect a whole lot from her. She's just this small, demure teenage girl who seems lost before the great drama that's about to play out in her life. She doesn't seem like she knows how to sing. She doesn't seem like she knows what to sing about, but then she takes the microphone and she begins to sing. And she blows everyone away with the power of her song. Again, it's a powerful, powerful song. Mary's song is powerful because what it tells us about God, what it tells us about the Mighty One, the God that we've all been watching and waiting for during this season of Advent, the God who does great and wonderful things for his people, the God whose gracious actions in our lives cause us to rejoice, cause us to be glad. That's what Mary sings about. That's what she says. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. And I'm sure we can all attest to that. We can all attest to the wonderful and great things that God has done for each and every one of us. We probably have a long list of things when we think about it, of all the great and wonderful things that God has done for each and every one of us. But Mary's song also reminds us that God has a special place in God's heart for the lowly, for the humble, for the grieving and the desperate, for those who, for whatever reason, cannot help themselves. The German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was executed by the Nazis during World War II, said in one of his sermons that God is not ashamed of human lowliness, but goes right into the middle of it, chooses someone as instrument, and performs the miracles right there where they are least expected. God, he says, draws near to the lowly, loving the lost, the unnoticed, the unremarkable, the excluded, the powerless, and the broken. What people say is lost, God says is found. What people say is condemned, God says is saved. Where people say no, God says yes. And it is God's yes for the lowly that Mary sings about in her song this morning. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones. That's what Mary sings. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. And he has sent the rich away empty. Dangerous songs. It's songs like that, of course, that often get the Marys of our world in trouble. I've seen my share of Christmas pageants. One of the things I've often noticed was that they hardly ever let Mary say anything, let alone sing. And all the Christmas pageants I've seen, Mary just sort of hovers over the scene graciously and lovingly, but she doesn't say anything and she doesn't sing at all. When I got a little older, I began to understand why, because Mary's song has often been considered as subversive and dangerous, which is just another way of saying that for millions and millions of people around the world, it's a song that is filled with hope. Hope for a better world, hope for a different kind of world, hope for the kind of world that only God can bring. And that's the kind of world that Mary is singing about this morning. The great Christian writer C.S. Lewis once said that Mary's song was a terrible song. And he didn't mean terrible in terms of bad, being something that was bad, but he was playing on the Latin word terribilis, which means fearful, which means awe-inspiring. Something that we all need to think about, especially those of us who are live in the more comfortable precincts of the world. Those of us who are full, those of us who are not hungry, those of us who are well clothed, those of us who don't necessarily think of ourselves as being the lowly. Someone once said that they don't even want to hear Mary's song during the season of Advent or Christmas because it sort of destroys their Christmas spirit. Well, if your Christmas spirit doesn't have room for Mary's song, you probably have the wrong kind of spirit. Something desperately wrong with your Christmas spirit. I confess that I'm the kind of person that when I hear a song I tend to play it over and over again. Have any of you ever done that? You know, play your song over and over again, over and over again. I used to get in trouble when I was in college when the neighbors in my apartment complex would knock on the door and they would say, "Randy, we don't mind hearing Purple Rain once. We don't even mind hearing it twice, but do we have to hear it over and over and over again?" And so I'm that kind of person. I like doing that during Advent as well. During the season of Advent, I always like to play my favorite Advent songs, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." Now I can go to YouTube and I tend to listen to it over and over and over again. There's just something about that song that speaks to me, something that resonates with me. And like all the songs I like, if they resonate with me, if they speak to that deep longing that I have deep down inside of my soul, I like to hear it over and over and over again. And so every year when I hear Mary's song, I wonder about the kind of people who play Mary's song over and over and over again. Have you ever wondered about that? Who are the kind of people who hear her song and who play it over and over and over again? Who are the people who are longing for the kind of world that Mary is singing about, the kind of world that we are all waiting for? Perhaps people who are grieving, people who have lost and are grieving, people who are on the run, refugees who are looking and seeking for a better kind of world. People have to make their way through the rubble of a war-torn city, trying to stay out of the way of bombs. People who are peacemakers, people who are longing and thirsting for some kind of justice and righteousness in the world. People who, for whatever reason, are poor in spirit, are longing for some kind of light to break into their darkness. I was listening to a young woman on the news the other day. They were interviewing this woman in one of our war-torn regions. And she kind of reminded me of Mary. She was longing and wondering why things were happening to her, why her family and kids were not saved, why she was separated from her family, why her house had been destroyed, why the rest of the world didn't seem to pay a whole lot of attention to her. She was wanting God to somehow break into the world and change things for her. And I thought to myself, I bet that woman plays Mary's song over and over and over again. Mary reminds us this morning in her song, the God is a God of mercy. That's what Mary's song is about. When you sum it all up, it's about God's mercy. God's mercy for the lowly, God's mercy for the vulnerable, God's mercy for the humble. It's about God's mercy for all of us. Because all of us are lowly human beings, all of us are broken human beings, all of us are people who need God's mercy. We are people who need to be saved. It's not just the hungry who needs to be saved. It's not just the lowly who need to be saved. It's not just the victims of injustice that need to be saved. It's not just those who live in war-torn lands that need to be saved. But you and I need to be saved as well. We need to be saved sometimes from our complacency. We need to be saved from our hardness of heart. We need to be saved from the indifference that we might have about the world around us. And that's what Advent is about. It's about all of our longing and watching and waiting for God to break into our world, to liberate us, to save us. Of course, mercy is just another way of talking about God's love. God's love for me, God's love for you, God's love for the whole world. God's love that refuses to let us languish in whatever darkness we might find ourselves in. And that's what this season is all about as well. It's about God's love, love for the world. One of the things about Mary's song that has always intrigued me is the fact that Mary doesn't seem to get her tenses right. Her tenses don't seem to be in agreement, her verb tenses. You know, Mary has just heard not long ago of the good news that has befallen her. She has just heard the good news from the angel Gabriel that she will be the bearer of the Christ child in the world. The baby in her womb has not even begun the process of development yet, and yet Mary is already acting as if everything is already a fait accompli. Everything she says is in the past tense. She doesn't say that God is going to do something. She doesn't say that God is going to lift up the lowly. But she says that God has already done it. God has already brought down the powerful from their thrones. God has already lifted up the lowly. God has already filled the hungry with good things. God has already accomplished all of these things. God has done it already. Mary, in other words, is already living into God's coming future. And that's what you and I are called to do as well. We're called to live into God's coming future. We're called to be the kind of people that Mary sang about. We are called to be people of joy. We're called to be people of peace. We're called to be people of hope. And yes, we're called to be people of love. I love Mary's song. I love this song of hope and love. I love this song that speaks to the deep stirring and longing in my heart. I love being reminded that the darkness of our world is not the last world, but that God's light has already broken into our world, the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the light of what we are all called to be, the light of where everything is going, where the whole world is going. And that light is already illuminating all of our hearts. It's the light that we will wait on as we light the Christ candle tonight. But it's the good news that the whole world is waiting on. And so may we, as God's people, bear witness to that great light as we sing Mary's song of justice and peace and hope and love. Let us pray. Gracious and giving Lord, we thank you for this season of Advent, which is now drawing to a close. We're reminded this morning that Advent is not a time for us to feel comfortable, but it's a time that we remind ourselves every year of the new world that you have promised for each and every one of us. For some of us, that world might feel and seem threatening. Some of us may not be sure that we're quite ready for that world. Some of us may like things the way that they are because we are, our stomachs are filled, and we have all the good things. But you have reminded us during the season of Advent that we are called to watch and to wait and to sing for your coming new world, the world of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the world of your coming kingdom. And so we ask, Lord, that you continue to lead us and guide us until that world is fully realized in all of our hearts. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.